It's November the 17th. Let's read the Bible. Friends, welcome back to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. So glad to have you with us today. We are in the second half of November, about a month and a half to go. Started a long time ago, seems like it. Back in January, we started this little project that has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, and now here we are, not that far from the end. Somebody wrote and said, "Thanks, Pastor Ray. See you tomorrow on the Bible bus." And somebody else said, "Thank you so very much. This has been an amazing year on the..." And they put, instead of saying bus or Bible bus, they put a little bus emoticon. I knew exactly what they meant. So it's been fun. Thank you so much for joining us. Just a reminder, all the videos for this whole year are going to be archived at keepbelieving.com. What I should say is everything from January the 1st up through today, it's already on the Keep Believing website. As we add the remaining days in the year, by the end of December, 365 days of video reading through the Word of God. So go to keepbelieving.com. You can watch any of the videos. They're organized by months, January, February, March, April, so on through month of November. They're all there. They're all free, available 24/7. 365. And you can listen to the audio podcast on Google Play, on Spotify, or on iTunes. Just look for "Let's Read the Bible" with an exclamation point. That'll be the audio of all of these Bible readings. So today we're in the middle of 1 Timothy, a short book, so only 2 days. Yesterday we did chapters 1, 2, and 3. Today chapters 4, 5, and 6. Remember, this book written by the Apostle Paul near the end of his life, about the year AD 64, after Acts. We know he was in house arrest, or in Rome in house arrest. I'm going to say it the right way. In Rome, under house arrest. At the end of the book of Acts, we believe he was set free for a period of a couple years and then was imprisoned again and finally put to death. Tradition says beheaded by the Emperor Nero in about AD 67. And in that short period of freedom, somewhere in there is when he wrote, about the year AD 64, he wrote 1 Timothy to Timothy, whom he left behind in Ephesus to give leadership to the church. Now, Timothy was a good man, but he was young. I think he felt a little bit intimidated, as anybody would be. Ephesus, a hugely important city. The church there, of vital importance in the first century. Timothy, I think, felt overwhelmed and was easily discouraged. So Paul wrote to buck him up, if you will, and tell him to stand strong, be a man, and fight the good fight of faith. Here we have the Paul's Handbook for Pastors. This is the nitty-gritty about Christian ministry, chapters 1, 2, and 3, the Christian message and the Christian ministry. And then the Christian ministry faces certain dangers and has certain duties, chapters 4 through 6. So, message and ministry, 1 to 3. Dangers and duties, chapters 4, 5, and 6. Dangers, chapter 4. Duties of different groups in the church in chapters 5 and 6. Lord, speak to us as we read your word today. 1 Timothy 4. "Now the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will depart from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons, through the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared. They forbid marriage and demand abstinence from food that God created to be received with gratitude by those who receive and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, since it is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished by the words of the faith and the good teaching that you have received, but have nothing to do with pointless and silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness, for the training of the body has limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. For this reason, we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone despise your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, give your attention to public reading, exhortation, and teaching. Don't neglect the gift that is in you. It was given to you through prophecy, with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Practice these things. Be committed to them, so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to your life and your teaching. Persevere in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 5. Dangers and duties. That was the danger. The danger of false teaching in the church. Now, duties. Various ministries. Chapter 5. Don't rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters with all purity. Support widows who are genuinely in need. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them learn to practice godliness toward their own family first and to repay their parents, for this pleases God. The widow who is truly in need and left all alone has put her hope in God and continues night and day in her petitions and prayers. However, she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command this also so that they will be above reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his own family, especially for his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow is to be enrolled on the list for support unless she is at least 60 years old, has been the wife of one husband, and is well known for good works. That is, if she has brought up children, shown hospitality, washed the saints' feet, helped the afflicted, and devoted herself to every good work, but refused to enroll younger widows, for when they are drawn away from Christ by desire, they will want to marry and will therefore receive condemnation because they have renounced their original pledge. At the same time, they also learn to be idle, going from house to house. They are not only idle, but are also gossips and busybodies, saying things they shouldn't say. Therefore, I want younger women to marry, have children, manage their households, and give the adversary no opportunity to accuse us. For some have already turned away to follow Satan. If any believing woman has widows in her family, let her help them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it can help widows in genuine need. The elders who are good leaders are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, "Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker is worthy of his wages." Don't accept an accusation against an elder unless it is supported by two or three witnesses. Publicly rebuke those who sin so that the rest will be afraid. I solemnly charge you before God in Christ Jesus and the elect angels to observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing out of favoritism. Don't be too quick to appoint anyone as an elder, and don't share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Don't continue drinking only water, but use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. Some people's sins are obvious, preceding them to judgment, but the sins of others surface later. Likewise, good works are obvious, and those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden. 1 Timothy 6. All who are under the yoke of slaves should regard their own masters as worthy of all respect, so that God's name and His teaching will not be blasphemed. Let those who have believing masters not be disrespectful to them because they are brothers, but serve them even better, since those who benefit from their service are believers and dearly loved. Teach and encourage these things. If anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree with the sound teaching of our Lord Jesus and with the teaching that promotes godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but has an unhealthy interest in disputes and arguments over words. From these come envy, quarreling, slander, evil suspicions, and constant disagreements among people whose minds are depraved and deprived of the truth, who imagine that godliness is a way to material gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out. If we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation, a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and by craving it, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the presence of God who gives life to all and of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, who gave a good confession before Pontius Pilate. I charge you to keep this command without fault or failure until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. God will bring this about in His own time. He is the blessed and only Sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in inapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To Him be honor and eternal power. Amen. Instruct those who are rich in the present age not to be arrogant or to set their hope on the uncertainty of wealth, but on God, who richly provides us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do what is good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, willing to share, storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of what is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding irreverent and empty speech and contradictions from what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some people have departed from the faith. Grace be with you all. You know, there was trouble brewing in Ephesus there. It's clear, isn't it? He starts and ends. Chapter 1, he's warning about these people who are arguing about myths and genealogies and meaningless words. And he comes to the end and he talks about avoiding irreverent and empty speech. That some people, you know, you can talk too much. You can talk too much. You can argue too much. And let me come back here. I was just reading this. It's interesting. This is part of what the experience is like for me. Reading some things out loud, it comes to my ears in a different way. Here at the very beginning of chapter 6, or round about verse 3, if anyone teaches false doctrine and doesn't agree with the sound teaching, he's conceited and understands nothing. And what's the mark of a false teacher in this case? He's conceited. He doesn't understand anything. He has an unhealthy interest in disputes and arguments over words. You know what came bounding into my mind as I was reading? It's thinking about social media, Twitter. I think it's called X now. I feel like I spend about half my life on social media. And it could be true of Facebook. It could be true of Instagram in some degree. But it's really true of something like Twitter or X. From these come envy, quarreling, slander, evil suspicion, and constant disagreement. You know, there are people who are contentious. We got to be careful. Two things. Stay away from a contentious person. There's some people who love to argue, who love to quarrel. There are Christians who get upset too easily, too quickly, who go to the worst possible ascription of motives of other people. Be careful. An unhealthy interest in disputes and arguments over words. And I see people, even good people on Twitter, that they get drawn into an argument and have to defend and then have to attack. And it goes, spirals downward from there. Besides being a great time waster, it drags you down. And I think it's far better. Flee. There's some things we just ought to put out of our life. We ought to put contentious people out of our life. We ought to put quarrelsome people out of our life as much as we can. We can't always do that completely. And we ought to focus on being around people whose words are uplifting, whose words promote godliness. You know, there's some people, when I'm around them, I just want to be a better Christian. I want to pray. I was talking, I guess it was yesterday, about John Sergi. I always wanted to be a better man when I was around John Sergi. I mean, I wanted to be able to pray like he prayed, not just with the words, but with the fervency of his prayers. So let me encourage you today. If you have a choice, we all do have choices every day, let's choose to be around people who build us up and make us stronger, whose character and whose demeanor Make us love Jesus Christ more. Make us bolder in our faith. Make us more sincere in our prayers. Make us more concerned to meet the needs of those around us. Lord Jesus, free us from a quarreling spirit. Lord Jesus, deliver us from a contentious spirit. But Lord, help us to see this world for what it is, a thing that is passing away. Help us to live today in light of eternity, to live today with our money. I mean, that's a big part of what he says here, you know. Use your money. Now, you spend your money today in light of eternity. So, these words are so practical. We pray to be the right kind of people, free from quarrels, free from contentions, free from the love of money, but loving you and loving people around us. So, let's make that our watchword today. We're going to love God, we're going to love people. If we do that, it will be a great day. Come on back tomorrow. Guess what? In one day, we're going to do all of 2 Timothy. And it's like 1 Timothy, but it's different. It's the last letter Paul ever wrote. You don't want to miss it. See you back here tomorrow, 2 Timothy. God bless. Have a great day.